Hello, welcome to Women of the Future, episode 7. Today's topic is facing or avoiding the truth. The reason we chose this topic is because we're of the view that this is a behavior pattern that females engage in, and not necessarily realizing that we're behaving in this way or thinking in this way. And we'd like to explore today as to how this behavioral pattern causes damage in our personal lives, in our relationships, and with life itself. So thank you for joining us, and we hope that you do enjoy the half an hour ahead of you. Sister Denise, it's great to have you back as always.
Thank you.
Sister Denise, today's topic is a painful one. I wince as I even say it, because it's not something that we easily want to hear, okay? Because although most of us say to somebody, I want the truth, tell us the truth. When we go to the doctor, we say, tell me everything that I need to know. Yet we still have difficulty handling the truth. And there's a level of dishonesty within us that we ourselves do not know about. Is that not the case?
You know, we have been talking about feelings. And so it's very much built into the culture. We won't tell them the truth because it'll make them feel bad. You know, like a child, when the grandparent is dead, the child will say, well, where is grandma, grandpa? Oh, they've gone on holiday. Okay, when they're coming back, a few months passes, grandma, grandpa, oh, they're dead. Why didn't you tell me in the first place? Oh, he didn't want to upset you. Well, you jolly well upset me much more by lying to me than you would have done in the first place. So they use the assumption about the person's emotion to excuse and justify their unwillingness to tell the truth. And that is very bad.
Okay, Sister Denise, we all have traits within ourselves that causes us to not face the truth about our own weaknesses. We all have that. I'm not sure why we built that way, but we are. We find ourselves in positions where you have a relationship that's not working, and you get women who stay in such a relationship for years and years and years, even though she knows she shouldn't be in it. You're in a job that's not serving you in any way, and yet you stick to that position. You live in a place that's possibly harmful to you, but you do not move out of that house for this and this reason. We all avoid looking at ourselves in the mirror, as it were. Why are we so structured, and how can we do a re-engineering?
I think actually we're not structured that way. Our structure is perfectly all right, but our structure gets messed with by the prevailing social attitudes and values. You know, a woman especially is told, whatever your situation is, you have to tolerate it. Now, there is an area where tolerance applies, and once you go outside of that area, tolerance has to be replaced by discrimination, judgment, and acting. But people are not taught that. So again, I would go back to the idea that we need an education in these subtleties of what is okay, what should be tolerated, and where the line is. We need to be able to draw the line between what's okay and what's not okay. And the problem is that we get given an instruction, tolerate your situation, whatever it is. And then the person wanting to be, you know, nice, polite, compliant, starts to go into places where they really shouldn't go. And there isn't anybody to tell them otherwise, because it's very convenient for other people. It looks good. You know, you say, oh, my marriage is working very well. You come out and show yourself in a function, and then behind the walls, it's something altogether different. And so it teaches people to be hypocritical, to have double standards, and all of these things that I associate with conventional morality where it becomes toxic, you see. There are certain medicines where if you have a little bit, it's good for you. You have a lot, it's bad for you. But in terms of social interaction, behavior, and these ideas about what's right and what's wrong, you get something that's a blanket statement that's given for someone or something that has to be in a very particular area. I'll give you an example from science. You know, the human being can live on this earth between a certain temperature range, minus a few to plus a few. And as soon as you get into the vaster arena of physics and astronomy and so on, you realize that this is a very tiny little area within which human life is possible, you see. And then people somehow present to each other that the whole area is the same as this little tiny piece of the spectrum. And this is where our problem lies. And that is because we don't specify, we're imprecise, we're not able to make distinctions between how much is within the acceptable range, where to draw the line, and how to say what's not acceptable. And this is really what makes it dysfunctional. So, what is the solution to that?
Yeah, that would have been my next question. Before you answer that question, Sister Denise, my question to you is, how do you face the truth about yourself? And why do we fear the truth so much?
The truth about yourself is a very vast statement, you know. If you ask a person, do you know who you are? The answer is always going to be no. People don't know who they are. And they don't want to admit that they don't know who they are. Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know how to operate. So the identity of a person, you are this, 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 and this. And in order to be an okay person, you have to check certain boxes. But it's very artificial. And it's a kind of a collective delusion that the society has put itself into, that checking these boxes is the same thing as facing the truth. It really isn't. Now, the difficulty comes when someone who has the capability of thinking for themselves challenges these assumptions and says they don't fit. The criteria for establishing what's right and wrong are fundamentally flawed, you see. As soon as a person says that, there's a huge reaction, you see. And the prevailing attitudes, the society in general, will punish a person for raising the flag. You know, it's like a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a phenomenon. And what do you do about it? How do you do about it? So if you say, okay, let me face the truth about myself. Well, before you can face it, you have to know it. And you can't know it if you don't have criteria or if you have movable criteria. You know, you may say, okay, the truth about myself is I'm diagnosed schizophrenic. Let me go to another doctor and they will diagnose me, you're not schizophrenic, you're bipolar. It's the same thing, different name. Because it sounds better. Oh, no, no. Go to another opinion. No, you have a personality problem. You know, so they will find euphemisms to make you feel okay about something that needs to be faced so that you don't have to face it. You see, so you're not really operating on your own trying to face yourself. You're operating in an environment where there is a setup to prevent people from facing themselves. We're sort of, you know, trying to just make a chink in that armor plating that the society has created for itself. I suppose you just have to have a few people who think out of the box, who think independently, who think for themselves, and who listen to the voice of conscience, who are fundamentally motivated by a desire to be real, to be true, to be authentic. But it is a phenomenon that someone like this, society doesn't like. But yet, if there's going to be improvement, if there's going to be development, if there's going to be evolution in the society, you have to have people like this who are willing to do this, in a sense, for the greater good. And that's a phenomenon too. So I kind of go back to the idea that the time that we're in right now, the circumstances that we're in right now, are so extreme that it's a very good time. Because when things are very extreme, they don't hold together very well. They are sort of on the brink of collapsing because of being extreme. And so if you just touch it a little bit, it'll make it fall apart. But you have to also embody what that is replaced by, I see. So you say, okay, I want to face the truth about myself. Well, the truth about myself is I don't know myself. So you have to face that. Okay, who am I? What am I? What criteria will I use? So it has to be to do with your personal ethical policy, things like this. And so you say, okay, I will work with myself. I will figure out with myself. I will give as the most important criteria that I will be right with myself. That means I will not go against my conscience.
I like that expression a lot, Sister Denise. I will be right with myself. That is quite lovely. Yeah. Sister Denise, the fear factor, what is that as far as truth is concerned?
You know, it is said that fear is a vice, but I would differ. I would say cowardice is a vice. Fear is a given. You are in a situation which produces fear. You have two options. You could take a step of courage, or you could take a step of cowardice. Up to you. But fear is there. I would just not say that fear is a bad thing. It is just a given. So you face fear. And what does fear demand of you? It demands that you have faith in yourself, faith in your principles, faith that you have God with you, and then almost take a leap into the unknown. So that requires a huge step of courage. And so most people won't do that. But I think that if a person sees someone taking a step of courage, that gives them courage to take a similar step. So in a way, I think it's about pioneering. If you're willing to be a pioneer, that is really good for everyone.
What would you say is required from someone who wants to face and not avoid the truth about themselves, about their lives, about their relationships, about their jobs? What is required?
I think what's required is judgment.
What do you mean?
You have to judge that, okay, you're in a situation that is scary. You have some options. You have to look at those options. And you have to judge which is the best option and then do that. So judgment is very important.
Mm. I'd like to stop you right there, Sister Denise. One of the maladies that a lot of women suffer from is they do not trust themselves to think for themselves. They do not trust their judgment, mainly because they've abdicated from the responsibility of making decisions for themselves for such a long time. And maybe because people have given them the message, you shouldn't think for yourself and you cannot think for yourself.
I think there's another thing that's also told, and that is you do not exist on your own. You belong to someone, and that person that you belong to, they will think for you. Now, what spirituality says is this belonging is a social device. But behind that is a greater truth that you're on your own. Once you know that you're on your own, you're responsible for your actions, you're responsible for your decisions, and somebody else is not going to reap the fruit of your action. You will reap the fruit of it. So if you allow someone else to make your decisions for you, you will still pay the price. They will not pay the price. So once you realize that, you become aware that you're responsible. Actually being willing to say, okay, I'm alone. And it's very scary for women to be alone. Very scary.
Yes.
And in society, they say, if you're alone, there's something wrong with you. How can you possibly be alone? Women are unable to be alone. Well, here's one. It may be exceptional, but it proves that the assumption is artificial, is unreal. And the reality is, everyone is on their own. You die alone. You get born alone. You face your pain alone.
Yeah, that's a big one. We do face our pain alone. You mentioned in an earlier answer that you need to sit and make a decision. Take us through that. What is involved in that? Is it a question of logic? Is it a question of, you know, looking at where you're at? Do you look at your feelings? What do you draw on? Because your intellectual prowess has other links, doesn't it?
Yes, I think it's very important to draw on everything and to evaluate it and give yourself time. And there are sayings that remind us that, you know, the best decisions are made when you're absolutely having no emotion whatsoever.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Sister Denise, because the danger that we place ourselves in is we tend to make decisions based on our emotions at the time, good or bad. Okay, I mean, people get married because they fall in love. And so, you know, it was a good idea at the time, and then 10 years later, boof. Okay, it's news to many people not to make decisions based on their feelings / emotions. It's news.
You say a woman is the world of feelings, but that woman is not her feelings. A woman has feelings. They're possessions. And you may have a lot of feelings. You can say, okay, feelings, you sit there for a minute. I have to become free from any of these waves and colors of feelings so that I can make an independent decision. And then feelings can come back, you see. But as long as you're feeling something, your decision is going to be biased, you see. And it's going to be causing you to do an action which in the light of day is regrettable.
Mr. Denise, truth itself. One of the titles of God is the truth. It's one of the most beautiful titles of God. How does he attract the feminine energy?
You know, truth is sometimes compared with justice, yeah, truth and justice. So it's blind. It doesn't look at attenuating circumstances. Truth is just truth. What's difficult for people is facing a particular truth as it comes along, because truth is usually you really don't like it.
Mm.
You know, it may be painful, it may be some other thing, but it's hardly charming.
No, very rarely, you know, charming.
And so if you say, I want the truth, be prepared to have something that you don't like.
Ouch. That's painful. It's even painful hearing that.
Well, you see, being able to manage these kinds of pain is going to prevent you from having to deal with much worse pain.
Oh. Whoa, that's news to many. So rather experience like the pain of an injection as opposed to experiencing pneumonia, which can develop if you don't sort out the flu right now.
So being willing to face the truth is like a vaccination against a problem down the line, yes.
Okay, I see. And God in one's life, how does he fit into the picture?
Well, you see, God is dispassionate. He sees all, knows all, is independent of good and evil. People are totally like this with good and evil. And I think if you want to become more godlike, you need to become more dispassionate, more detached from all these good and bad, pleasure, pain, all of these, what's known in the scriptures as the pairs of opposites. Unless we are independent of the pairs of opposites, we cannot operate in wisdom. So again, wisdom comes up, and it's all to do with being independent of emotions, because emotions will deceive us.
Okay, Sister Denise, you shared the that it is necessary to face the truth. You shared how one goes about it. How does one live with the consequences of being somebody who faces the truth all the time? It can't be easy, because you have to have nerves of steel to face your own darkness and to face the bad news.
You could say nerves of steel, but I think it has to do with a kind of acceptance of the totality of the self. You know, a self is a combination of good and bad. We have our strengths, we have our weaknesses. We have to be able to accept the whole package. And then our weaknesses do not constitute handicaps. They become opportunities. It's better.
That is very beautiful, very beautiful. How does that happen? How do you transform your weaknesses into opportunities? That is news. Sister Denise, you know what? Don't answer this question here. Maybe we should take it up in another topic, because I need at least half an hour of that. Okay, transforming your weaknesses into opportunities. That's brilliant. Okay, I think we should end on this note, because you've given myself and the viewer a lot of food for thought, a lot. And I particularly liked the way you brought it home to the ladies watching you, that facing the truth, one does not need a degree to do this. All you need is to give yourself some time and space and to think. And what I liked about your sharing, Sister Denise, is that it brought it within everyone's range of ability. It's not out there. I think that a lot of ladies do not trust themselves to become more powerful and become more empowered. So that which you shared today was very empowering, so thank you for that. I thank you for giving us half an hour of your time. This has been very valuable. If you find yourself in the position where there's something or someone that you have to face head on, Sister Denise has shared how you can sit in silence and actually come to terms with that which you have to face, to embrace the truth, to not be afraid of it, and to simply, having given yourself the time and made a decision, to act on the decision and not to run away from life. I think that was the deepest message that I received from today's talk. So thank you so much for joining us, and I do hope that you could use that which was shared in today's talk to improve the quality of your life. Thank you for joining us, and goodbye.